good darn mama could give it on a trip. Lean back and stay a while, now we could give it on a trip.
Hello, this is Brad Crandall, your host for Monitor 67, where you keep up to date on what's new in the weekend world. Just ahead, we'll hear a fellow named Bob Hope talking about what he considers his first big break in show business. First, Monitor music. Here's Joel Gray with a hit tune from his Broadway show, Cabaret, the title, Willkommen.
Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome, Fremde. Étranger, stranger, glücklich zu sehen, je suis enchanté, happy to see you, bleibe, reste, stay. Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome. Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome,
welcome,
fremde, étranger, stranger, glücklich zu sehen, je suis enchanté, happy to see you, bleibe, reste, stay, I'm singing, willkommen.
Show business and success in show business, like anything else, requires a combination of talent, judgment, and hard work. There's a fourth ingredient called luck that can make a difference, too. But, well, how much luck is enough? Monitor reporter Larry King asked that question of comedian Bob Hope and got some pretty interesting answers.
Did you have a break, Bob? As, you know, today we could look at comics and say, well, when he worked The Hungry Eye, that was a big break. Or this album for Shelley Berman, that made Shelley Berman. Did Bob Hope have a break?
Yeah, I think so. I think you got to say it's a break. I played a theater when I was showing up in 86th Street, the Proctor's 86th, and I followed Leatrice Joy, who was a movie star. And I don't know whether you remember, but she was a very big star, and she was out doing some personal appearances, and I followed her. And she had been married to John Gilbert, and it was one of those spots that was just perfect for, and I was showing my act. And I, in those days, I wore a brown derby and had a cigar, you know, for nervousness and everything. And I followed her, and after she finished this great dramatic thing and in the spotlight and all this stuff about the war, I walked out and said, "No, lady, this is not John Gilbert." And from then on, it was that to me is a break. Finding a spot where you can really look
the right
good.
People there seeing it.
Yeah, and all the bookers were there, and they right there they signed me for 3 years with RKO. And
when you started as a monologist, and I guess that's what you'd have to be called, wouldn't
right,
it?
Right.
Did you always, the attitude that you've taken, sometimes Jackie Vernon told me it's tough finding a niche, and he wasn't always doing dull humor, you know?
Yeah.
Did you always have this, how would I describe it, air about you?
I think so. Even when I didn't have material, I had an air about me, because Fred Allen came over to see me back in 1920, about 29. He came over to Fox's Ridgewood in Brooklyn, and it's the first time he ever saw me. And he came backstage, and he said to me, I want to congratulate you. You reek with confidence. Didn't say anything about my talent.
But that approach, that walk on stage, that...
Yeah, I was all...
Like, I've got you. You won't have
that. Yeah, that's
right.
I challenged the audience. I used to walk out and just tell them a joke and look them right in the eye and say, it's either you or I. I didn't really come along, you know, until I... See, I was in vaudeville, and when you were in vaudeville, you used to go on the Orpheum circuit for 30 weeks and get lost, you know? Then you come back into the palace. Then I went back into vaudeville, and I went into a show with Harry Richmond called Say When in 1934, then into the Ziegfeld Follies, and then into Red Hot Blue, and then now to the coast, you know?
Do you have, per se, now a nightclub act? Why doesn't Bob Hope do 2 weeks at the Fontainebleau? Or
boy, I wish I could. I'd love it. I haven't got time, Larry. But I play a lot of colleges. I play a lot of concerts around the country.
Would it be more financially rewarding if you had the time to do it?
Oh, no.
It would not?
No, no, no.
You can make more from concerts?
Oh, my God. Oh, I play at one night at a fair, and I get what they pay for a week in a club.
How many writers you have?
Now, I have the same cast of 7.
Are they the same people that write for you, whether you're doing a dinner speech or a television
show? All the way. They do everything.
How long have they been with you?
Well, I have one guy since 1938, Norman Sullivan. 20 years, 15 years.
When you sit there and the writer comes to you,
mm-hmm.
I've seen Jackie Gleason do this.
Yeah.
The writer will tell him a joke that's funny, and all they'll say is, that's funny.
Oh, sure.
And he doesn't laugh.
No, that's right.
Do you laugh?
No. No, it's a business. I just finished a picture with Jonathan Winters, and I took page after page to John, because I produced it, and I said, John, you're going to be real funny in this picture. I've seen you in Russians Are Coming and Mad, Mad World. In this picture, you're going to be funny. And I told him joke after joke, and he just looked and says, uh-huh, yeah, right. And I thought, oh, I'm dying here, you know. Now I'm on the other side. I'm selling the joke. And John has never been greater than he is in this picture.
What's the movie?
Eight on the Lamb. And he works with Phyllis Diller all the way through.
Are you in it, too? Or just
yeah, I'm in it. They tell me I am, but he runs away with it. Phyllis and John run right down the street with this picture. I'm just appearing.
Now, some comics, uniquely enough, would be disturbed about that. I don't want to do in a picture where Jonathan Winters and Phyllis Diller are in it, and they get more laughs than I do.
Yeah, yeah, well...
Didn't bother you?
No, and I want to get them for the next picture I'm doing. You know, they never do a picture without great help. They want a great leading lady. Bing wants a lot of help. He doesn't care who's around him, just so he's in the midst of success. That's an awful important thing, you know. It's okay to do your own picture and everything if you've got a great script that you can handle all by yourself, but... You know, you better have a lot of great words for yourself or a great script. And I've made about 60 pictures.
Bob, health, happiness, love.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Bob Hope, a giant in the business, giving a little credit to Lady Luck. Now more Monitor music. Here's one of more engaging English cousins, the petite Petula Clark, to sing This Is My Song.
Thank you.
19 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Monitor. I'm your host, Brad Crandall. Ahead, the Tijuana Brass and the latest sports news with Mel Allen. So stay right here with us. You're on the Monitor. Hello, this is Brad Crandall for Monitor. Now, Mel Allen with Today in Sports, plus a look at the week ahead.
Thank you very much, Brad. Hello there, everybody. In the National Basketball Association Championship playoffs, San Francisco staved off elimination, beat Philadelphia 117-109, overcoming a 13-point deficit in the final period. The best-of-seven series moves to San Francisco tomorrow night, with Philadelphia leading in games 3-2. Rick Barry, the NBA scoring champion, paced the Warriors with 36 points. Chet Walker, high man for the 76ers, with 25. In golf, former West Point cadet Bert Yancey leads at the 54-hole mark of the $100,000 Dallas Open, shooting a 4-under par 66 today with 10 one-putt greens, 26 putts in all, for a three-round score of 203 and a one-stroke lead over Kermit Zarley, who had a 68. Roberto de Vicenzo of Argentina, the defending champion and leader after the second round, blew to 73. Now baseball results. American League, California beat Cleveland 9-6 in 12 innings in the first game of a doubleheader. Cimino getting the decision over Kralik. A five-run fifth inning carried the Yankees to a come-from-behind 7-5 victory over Boston. Al Downing bested Jose Santiago. Carl Yastrzemski homered for the Red Sox. Minnesota nosed out Detroit 4-2. Worthington, the winner over Wilson. Homers, Walt Bond for the Twins, Norm Cash for the Tigers. It was Washington 5, Chicago 1. Barry Moore bested Bruce Howard. Bernie Allen homered for Washington. Now in the National League, Philadelphia swept the Mets 10-6 in the first game. Grant Jackson the winner, Don Shaw the loser, Richie Allen homering. And the Phils won the second game 3-1, Richie Allen again homering. Tony Gonzalez also homered as Dick Ellsworth beat Bill Dennehy. A three-run homer for rookie Norm Gigan's first major league hit helped the Chicago Cubs down Pittsburgh 7-3. Fergie Jenkins bested Juan Pizarro. Roberto Clemente and Don Clendenin homered for the Pirates. They played in 36-degree weather with icy winds, and tomorrow's game between the clubs already has been canceled after a 2-inch snow was forecast. Cincinnati handed Houston its seventh straight loss 5-3. Milt Pappas beat Don Wilson. Ron Davis homered for Houston. Ron Fairley drove in five runs with a home run and a double to pace Los Angeles to a 9-3 win over St. Louis as Claude Osteen beat Ray Washburn. Atlanta at San Francisco, a doubleheader, postponed rain. In the National Professional Soccer League, Philadelphia and Baltimore played a scoreless tie, and St. Louis beat California 2-1. Looking ahead, Tuesday, Montreal at Toronto in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup playoff finals, the best-of-seven-game series currently tied to one victory apiece. Thursday, the Texas Open Golf Tournament at San Antonio. Friday, heavyweight champion Cassius Clay scheduled to report for Army induction. Saturday, the ABC Masters Bowling Tournament at Miami, the National AAU Volleyball Championships in Detroit, Expo 67 International Table Tennis Tournament in Montreal, the $75,000 added gray lag handicap at Aqueduct. That's what is and will be in sports, Brad. Mel Allen here, friends, reminding you that for more features and news from the world of sports, stay tuned to Monitor.
Thank you, Mel.
Plymouth is out to win you over this year. This is Edie Gourmet. You know, Plymouth dealers have been winning people over like mad. So you'd think they'd take a breather about now. Uh-uh. They're throwing a big bonus sale.
It's really the big sale of the year, Edie. Plymouth dealers are offering specially equipped Fury, Belvedere, and Valiant models with special equipment at specially reduced prices. Winning deals on the wild new Barracudas, too. See them now during Plymouth's big bonus sale.
Follow your heart to your Plymouth dealer today.
Save on a bonus special Plymouth today at your Plymouth dealers. It's his big bonus sale featuring specially equipped Plymouths at specially reduced prices. Going strong now. Costa, Ilya Darling. I'm Brad Crandall, your host for Monitor 67, your weekend companion for music, news, sports, and comedy, wherever you are, at home or in your car, anywhere in the USA. In the area of Casper, Wyoming, we're heard on station KTWO. Now, let's hear the call letters of all our NBC stations around the country, and then we'll be back.
Hear an address by General William Westmoreland tomorrow on the NBC Radio Network.
Crandall here from Monitor 67, where we'll be hearing in just 2 minutes about a new form of fraud that may affect you, especially if you send or receive checks through the mail. But first, Monitor Music. Buddy Greco, and there she goes.
There she goes. She's walking away. Each step that she takes brings heartaches my way. That it shows she's walking away. Oh, there she goes. La 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 la. Oh, if I hadn't cheated, if I
there she goes.
rising use of the personal checking account and the credit card, people don't carry as much cash as they used to, and this has made life somewhat more difficult for thieves and crooks. But being a devious and enterprising sort, the modern thief has turned to a new activity, stealing canceled checks. Now, this is giving a good-sized headache to Henry B. Montague, Chief Inspector of the United States Post Office Department. Reporter Bryson Rash asked Mr. Montague about this new swindle.
Inspector Montague, why steal canceled checks? They can't be cashed.
That's very true, Mr. Rash. This is a variation of the overall problem we're having with the thefts of checks from mailboxes. In this instance, the thief looks for the bank statement coming to the individual from the bank. He steals the envelope containing the statement, opens it. From that, he learns the amount on deposit in the account. He's able to make a copy of the signature on the canceled checks. He puts the statement and the canceled checks back in the envelope, reseals it, and puts it back in the mailbox again.
And then the victim, or the intended victim, or the victim-to-be, doesn't know that somebody is operating on his account at that time.
Usually, he doesn't know until he gets a notice from his bank that his account has been overdrawn.
And that takes a little while to develop.
Quite often, it takes 20 to 30 days, and this is one of the features of it that gives us the big headache. That is, that the trail is cold before we can get onto it.
Well, sometimes they also print checks with your name and so on it.
This is another variation. At times when they steal your checks, they will, knowing your balance in the account, they will print other checks exactly the same as yours and then use those checks to draw against your account.
But isn't a bank teller supposed to ask for identification on a check?
Bank tellers are quite the same as other people who have to cash financial instruments. They're quite busy most of the time, especially if they have lines of people there. They'll try to pick out the teller who looks the most inexperienced and then go to that teller to try to cash the check.
Well, how do you catch these people?
Well, this is the headache. When we learn that an account is being victimized, then we will station a man in the bank, and if anyone comes in with a check drawn against the account, why, we will want to talk to him. Of course, as I mentioned before, quite often the trail is cold before we get onto it. So if a person has any suspicion at all that his account has been a subject of manipulation, we would like to know about it right away. That is, if his bank statement envelope arrives a couple of days late and there's no explanation for it, or if the envelope in which it's received gives any evidence of having been tampered with, or anything of that sort, if there's any unusual circumstance connected with the delivery of your bank statement.
Get in touch with the Post Office Department.
Yes, sir. Get in touch with the nearest postal inspector, if there is one there. Otherwise, with the local postmaster, and he will notify the inspector.
But the canceled check is just a variation on stealing real checks, is it not?
That's true. This is the most common offense that we have today in the big cities. Because of the numbers of checks that are being mailed, we have thieves operating in gangs. Some of the members of the gang steal the checks, others forge them, and others of the gang do the passing of the checks.
How many checks are there sent out in this country each year, or each day?
Treasury Department alone will issue over 500 million checks this fiscal year. According to information which we have from banking channels, altogether there are about 18 billions of checks issued each year. And somewhere along the line, most all of those checks are going to be in the mail. Last year, we had about 100,000 complaints.
Well, what sort of people steal these checks? Do you have any idea?
They are usually hardened criminals, and quite often, in the larger cities, they are narcotics addicts. They steal the checks in order to get money to buy more narcotics, so that actually, you have two offenses combined into one.
It's a pretty vicious circle, isn't it?
It is a vicious circle, as with all crime.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Mr. Henry B. Montague, the Chief Inspector of the United States Post Office Department, on a new gimmick in thievery, stealing canceled checks. Bryson Rash, NBC News, Washington, reporting for Monitor.
Here's Vicky Carr, rainboat, raincoat, and umbrella. Constant rain.
Constant is the rain.
sure is you are. Endless is the way. As I stand here and remember that once our hearts were one, and every day was spring to me till you left and took away the sun. Now the days are lonely, the song of love is still. They say that I'll forget you, but I say I never will. And it hurts with such a pain to be alone and lonely in the rain. It hurts with such a pain to be alone and lonely in the rain. Sure be sure, constant is the rain. Sure be sure, and this is the way.
You're tuned to Monitor at 15 minutes before the hour with more music and information coming up. For instance, just ahead, Dr. Joyce Brothers will be along with some advice for prospective parents on choosing a name for the new baby. Stay right here. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Brad Crandall here, back with more of Monitor. Roger Miller, the king of the road, goes walking in the sunshine.
Walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. Put a smile upon your face as if there's nothing wrong. Think about a good time had a long time ago. Think about forgetting about your worries and your woes. Walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. La 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 dee-o. Whether the weather be rain or snow, pretending can make it real. A snowy pasture, a green and grassy field. Walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. Put a smile upon your face as if there's nothing wrong. Think about a good time had a long time ago. Think about forgetting about your worries and your woes. Walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song.
This message about your child's future. Does your youngster seem exceptionally bright for his age? Do you assume he'll be going to college someday? Unfortunately, you can't be that sure. Already many of our colleges are badly overcrowded, and in 10 years, applications will double. Your child will go to college if we provide many more college classrooms. Classrooms with the most up-to-date teaching equipment. We'll need more of the best-equipped modern laboratories and college libraries, and many, many more of the highest caliber college professors. Help the college of your choice now.
Turn into fire. Walk an autumn day with
Chandler and Young, Walk an Autumn Day with Me. The problem faced by a young married couple in choosing a name for their baby has been the subject of humorous comment for many years, but that choice of a name may be more important to your child than you think, not only during his childhood years, but all through his life. Psychologist Dr. Joyce Brothers examines some of the latest scientific answers to the question, what's in a name?
What are you going to name the baby? Will you name a boy after his father, or a girl after Great Aunt Tabitha, hoping that she'll leave all her money to her namesake? Will you buy a book of names, or call a family conference, or ask your friends to cast votes for their favorite names? It might be interesting for you to check to see if this idea works among the children you know. Are the most popular young girls the ones with the most likable names? Incidentally, researchers have found that the girls' names children like best are Susan, Sandra, and Linda. Their favorite boys' names have not been determined. Anyway, it's an interesting survey Dr. McDavid has made, and you might remember it when you're naming the new baby. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers for Monitor.
Time rolls the girls along, makes the stars go round to the sky's bright song. Time stirs the endless sea. Maybe time will bring you back to me. The summer was golden, their love young and new. His bold arms, her rendezvous. But now leaves have fallen and tears fill her eyes. His warm lips a memory as she sighs. Time rolls the hills along, makes the stars go round to the sky's bright song. Time stirs the endless sea. Maybe time will bring you back to me. The snow's come and gone now, and still they're apart. How empty her yearning heart. But spring brings its promise, and old memories burn. While she dreams with summer he'll return. Time rolls the hills along, makes the stars go round to the sky's bright song. Time stirs the endless sea. Maybe time will bring you back to me. Maybe time will bring you back to me.
That's Ed Ames, his self-wristing wind watch, and Time.
Edie Gourmet here with news about your Plymouth dealer's big bonus sale.
Excuse me, Edie, but are you ready for your high note at the end of the commercial?
Oh, you. I've made it the last 412 times, haven't I?
Yes, but...
Just explain the bonus sale, would you?
Okay. Plymouth's having a great sales year, so they're offering savings on bonus special Plymouth Furies. You get a textured vinyl roof, sport wheel covers, white sidewalls, special trim and light package, all at reduced prices, now during the big Plymouth bonus sale. Be sure to... Uh-oh, here she goes.
Plymouth is out to win you over this year. Follow your heart, see your Plymouth dealer today.
Big luxurious Fury today during your Plymouth dealer's bonus sale. He's offering specially equipped Plymouths at specially reduced prices. Shop now and save.
Hello,
Robert Camford and the orchestra, Hold Me. Right now, about 90 seconds before the hour, the program Monitor 67. And just ahead, NBC News on the Hour. I'm Brad Crandall.
Lead to the latest news now is on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. From
President Johnson and other heads of state pay final tribute to Konrad Adenauer Tuesday throughout the day on the NBC Radio Network.